You know, we all know that some of us have gone through certain stages in our Christian walk, and some of us are there still, where we sort of are a little bit, maybe still a bit unsettled, a little bit restless, and some of us are even a little bit driven, because we're wanting to serve the Lord, but there's certain things that we're not actually quite sure of. And so we will listen to this one's opinion and listen to that one's opinion and read the scripture and look around us and trust that somehow in all of this stuff that we observe and read and hear, that somehow we can find God and find meaning in life and know what this world is about. But what am I doing here? And not just what am I doing here, but really, really know that I know that I know that I know God. Some of us are not in that place quite there yet. And then we know other people that are just absolutely rock fast. You know that nothing that anybody says, any opinion, any wind of doctrine, any pushing, any wind that wants to take them off course is going to have any effect on them. Because you can just see that peace in their eyes, that peace that just surpasses all understanding. Nothing can move them. No circumstances, no opinions, nothing. Because they are just solidly on the rock. And there's a peace about them. There's a wisdom about them. There's an undrivenness about them that is almost tangible. And we all want to get into that place where we sort of feel, isn't it possible to move you? And we will push and sort of see and even shove like children do with their parents, you know, to sometimes push them to see, is their love really unconditional? You know, teenagers sometimes push you to that place, you know, where they want to even see, in my rebellion, will you be moved in your love? And in the same way, there are people who serve God who are absolutely just immovable, unshakable, and we so wish that we can be like that. Some of us in this place have come to that place, and it's called the place of rest. The place where God wants us to all come to. He wants to all us all to come into a place of rest. And it's very sort of obvious to see who the people are who have not really come into that rest, because they're thrown around by all kinds of stuff. And they wonder, and some of them, you know, are still sort of on the wondering stage. Is that so? Is that so? What? And you're listening to people's opinions here and there. And the Holy Spirit's knowledge, the revelation of Him, Christ in me, the hope of glory, isn't quite settled there yet. So that I can, with absolute full assurance, know when it's the Holy Spirit speaking and when it is the voice of a man. When it is flesh and when it is spirit. So that I can discern the truth without having to try. I just know. I'm rock fast. I'm steady. I've entered into the rest of the Lord. And from that place, I live. From that place, I serve. From that place, I discover more of God. I discover more of life. I discover things around me. But from that place, not from a place of still being unsettled. And I trust that this morning's message will help us, many of us who are still in that place of sort of restlessness, sort of it is one can see it in like a, with some people, not with all, but with some people, like a kind of a drivenness that you want to be busy, but you want to be busy with the right stuff, but you're not quite sure what is the right stuff. Some questions that we haven't asked ourselves yet about life. Because some of us sort of choose an easy gospel where we just listen to the opinions of people. But God wants us today to come to a place where you yourself know, or He will at least want to put you on a journey today to find Him for yourself. For yourself, not through somebody else, but for yourself, where you will know, never mind where I go, never mind where I will be, never mind what circumstances will happen in my life, I will be immovable, unshakable in the knowledge of Him. And so I trust that as we've been walking this road, in a sense, for a while now, especially in this year when I know for myself, the word that the Lord put on my heart, which I've shared mainly in the evening services, was how to tune into God, you know, so that we can know that we know His voice, so that we can live more effective lives at the end of the day, know His voice clearly so that we can obey more effectively and enjoy life, really. Because God says that he's come to give us abundance of life. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I've come to give you life in abundance. And some of us have not really come to that place where the abundance is real. Some of us are still living through other people. But God wants this to become absolutely real in your life. Where when people look at you, they see wisdom, they see rest, they see peace. And then they will be attracted to those rivers of living water, to that still place that the psalmist says, talks about in Psalm 23, when he says, I will lead you to still waters. Well, you know that place with God continuously, not only sometimes. To be continuously in that place and to live from that place. And it is not just possible, that is God's will for us to live in that place and from that place all the time. And it does not have anything to do with age. It's not just the old age people that come to that place. God wants you to come to that place very quickly after he's come into your life. After he's drawn you and after he's given you the new birth, he wants you to come to that place of, in a sense, autonomy, where you and God, you know each other. So, I just want to hold before us two scriptures. The one is in Matthew 18, verse 3 to 4. Now, when I was preparing this, I wasn't aware that we were going to do a baby dedication this morning, so it's just very special that the Lord should lay the scripture on my heart. Matthew 18, verse 3 to 4, and saying, assuredly I say to you, Jesus is talking here, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. That's a scripture that talks about the fact that God wants us to be like children. But then there's another scripture that looks like it's actually contradicting the scripture. You find that in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11 to 13. Paul is writing this and he says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Now just take it back to the previous slide. Now it seems as if Paul is saying, look, I used to think like a child. I used to understand like a child. I used to speak like a child, but now I'm grown up and I've distantiated myself from childish things, he says. I'm not there anymore. I'm not a child anymore. I am now grown up. And now in this place of being grown up, in a sense, I have discovered something. I've discovered that in this life, I will never know everything. And I've made a peace with it. I've discovered that in this life, I look through a glass dimly. But one day, I will be able to see face to face. I will know God face to face. I will absolutely know him, and I will see him in everything. But having gone through being a child and all that, I've come to the realization in my maturity now that life is really actually very simple. It boils down to three things. Those three things are faith, hope, and love. And I've discovered that that's what it's about, and that the greatest of these three things is love. Now, for some of us who are still in the exploring stage, when we read that, it's sort of a little bit vague, eh? I remember in my days of still being thinking like a child, where these things are vague and it sounds very sort of lofty, deeply spiritual, but it wasn't real to me in my heart. I haven't come to the place where Paul came and he just realized there's three things, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of that is love. And he's completely relaxed in the knowledge of three words. And he says, I will preach Christ and I'll preach him crucified. That's my message, you know. Now we know Paul, my goodness, before he was Paul, he was Saul. He was a man driven. And I tell you, I'm sure in his baby shoes, as a Christian, he was also, I mean, he was forever going wherever he went. He wanted to go to the synagogues and explain to the Jews the scriptures and stuff. And most of the time they shoved him out and tried to stone him and stuff like that. You know, he was pretty driven. But as he says, and I believe he's referring not to his childhood days really literally physically. He's talking about his childhood days in the Lord. When we just get to know the Lord. And we have so many questions. I remember my poor pastor, goodness, I used to phone him up all the time. I used to go to his house. I don't know how his wife managed with me. I would just fall in there and say, I'm sure I committed the sin against the Holy Spirit. I'm going to hell. There's no chance for me. You know, I've blasphemed the Holy Spirit. And then he just lay his hands on me and he says, no, if you're worried about that, then chances are you didn't. So now I just rebuke the devil's accusation in the name of Jesus, and there I would walk out fine. But you know, we all go through those stages of a child. And what the scripture is not saying, it sounds like it's saying that it's wrong to be a child. But how can you be grown up if you weren't a child? And being a child, it's very important to go through the child's childhood steps to become adult and to come to that place of rest and of adulthood. So we're going to look at those scriptures again, because I want to also just tell you a story about a lady who's been writing a letter of great frustration to another woman in the church, a friend of mine. And this friend of mine just passed the letter on. She said, please help. I don't know how to help this woman. So I read the letter. And it sort of boiled down to something like this. She had read in the newspaper or heard on TV or whatever about this lady who got raped, the singer's wife. What's her name? Hetty Brits. And she said she read this, and then she read that the lady heard from the Lord. The Lord spoke to her. And as she read that, she said she just cried and cried and cried and cried out of extreme anger and frustration and jealousy and offense and irritation at these people who can say the Lord spoke to me. And she's so angry because she was raised in a particular church, and then she went further to go look for God again. Then she stumbled upon charismatics, and then she went there, and then she did everything they told her, she says in the letter. Did everything they told her. And yet, this voice of God is still escaping her. And now she's cross with God because she says the only sort of place where she finds some kind of place of solace is with her friends who are like her, who are frustrated, freaked out, all of that stuff, and they sit around and they try to figure God out. And now she's crying all the time. She doesn't know what's going on with her, but she's not sure. Has God got favorites that he speaks to and others that he refuses to speak to, like herself? She has done everything in the book to get to that voice. She's given up. She's cross with the church and she's cross with God, because she says, how can God make her, as a person who thinks and explores, and then expect her to just accept certain things? So now she's cross with God as well. But the fact of the matter is she's depressed and she's cut off the knowledge of God still. And at first I thought, this poor woman, you know, but then I read it further and I gave the letter to Fred, and Fred said, my goodness, love, this book, this letter smacks of arrogance. And my mother heart wanted to go, you poor thing, how can I help you? Can I please, you know, apologize on behalf of the church? Because she says, I feel completely uitgesluit. What is that in English? Excluded, you know. I feel they exclude me and all of that stuff. And so I was, when I went back to the letter, I realized a couple of things there. And maybe one day she will listen to this tape. I don't know. But it will help her to actually come to that place where she will know the voice of God. Now, does God withhold his voice from anybody? Does he want some people not to hear his voice because he's only got his favorites? Thank you. Does this lady miss God's wavelength? But that's not his will. She's missing his wavelength. He's speaking loud and clear to the whole wide world But she somehow is missing his wavelength. And we've talked about that several times. I'm not going to go back to that. But the answer, I believe, to her dilemma and to many of our dilemma, who's sitting, we have discovered God. We know him. But somehow we haven't come to that place of rest and to that solid place. And I believe that the key that we're going to find to get to that place lies in those first two scriptures about the children. But first, let's just backtrack a little bit and sort of just contemplate what we've been preaching over the last couple of months to you guys. The fact that to get onto God's wavelength, I'm just going to sum it up quickly, is to understand his heart. And God's heart, he makes it clear. He says if you want to fulfill the law, love your neighbor. How do you love your neighbor? Well, like the Good Samaritan, who sees somebody in trouble, who cannot help himself, and who goes to him and who helps him. That is love demonstrated. Also says in another place, which we have looked at, another scripture that talks about undefiled religion is to look after the orphans and the widows, and then to keep yourself unspotted from the world. And we've discovered that we've sort of in this church had it the wrong way around. And so now that is why we're wanting to make an effort to bring to all of our attention next Sunday all the different ministries that are existing in the church where we reach out to those people who cannot help themselves so that you can maybe find a place where you can also serve, whether it is in one of those ministries, in whichever way the Lord has given you gifts, or even outside of that, just to be inspired to go and do the same, but only as the Holy Spirit would you lead you, not out of guilt or feeling that you must. Okay, God does not want us to live from that place. This is what we've been looking at Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, singing about is just in his grace. He doesn't want a heavy yoke upon us, especially not a yoke of guilt that drives us to do things. Do. Reach out, save people, all of that stuff. He wants us to live from a place of rest where we know his unction and where it's so natural, there's no striving. Okay, and let me just see here. Ephesians 5, verse 18 says, "Do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." When the Bible says that we must be filled with the Spirit here, he's talking about present continuous tense, which means be continuously filled with the Spirit of God. In other words, that's his desire for us, where we do not do any of those things, that we do not reach out to people, as I said, from a place of striving, but from a place of being filled with his love in any case. And we can't help to overflow to others. We cannot help ourselves because we are so full with his love, because we actually have a knowledge of his love. We cannot give out that which we do not have in ourselves. And that is the problem. Many people sort of try to, out of guilt, do things to sort of hope that in their doing things, they will come to a place where they will understand God's love. Or please him so much that he will love them, to be more accurate. So that you will somehow, through all your revving, and as like Flippy was sharing yesterday with the missions guys, you know, where you do everything right, and you're hoping that you're scoring points with God so that you will at last experience his acceptance and his love. When it's not like that at all, where God loves you even before you came to him. He loved you when you were a little baby, even before that, like little Micaiah. He absolutely adored you. He loves you unconditionally. We've heard that a lot of times. But do we know it? Do we know it? And I trust that today I'll help you to come to the place where you will know it. Because there's clues. There's clues where we can go and explore and find out. Find God for ourselves. And God makes those clues for us clear in Scripture. And so who wants to live from that place all the time? Not just sometimes, where there's no depression, there's no confusion, there's no wondering. You just know, and you just rest. You can hear, you can see, you understand Scripture. You know when the Lord is speaking to you out of certain Scriptures. You know, it's not just other people who say, this Scripture jumped out of me, but it never jumps at you ever. You know? Isaiah 3, this is a scripture that I came across while I was reading, and it jumped out at me. Now, what does it mean it jumped out of me? It caught my attention and sort of had my mind stuck on the last part. So it didn't really physically jump, by the way. It just sort of caught my attention. Isaiah 1, verse 3 says, "The ox knows its owner and the donkey its master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people do not consider." And my mind was stuck on this. "My people do not consider." And then in verse 8, I saw that it says, "So the daughter of Zion is left as a booth in a vineyard, as a hut in a garden of cucumbers." And I pictured this little hut in the middle of a garden of cucumbers, or a little booth in a vineyard. What the heck is it doing there? It's out of place, you know. And with verse 4, it says, "The ox knows its owner, and the donkey knows where his master's crib is. But Israel, the daughter of Zion, does not know." Why not? Because she doesn't consider. Now you're wondering, what are you talking about? Consider. Completely out of place. The right people in the wrong place. What are you doing there amongst the cucumbers? What's a hut doing in the middle of a vineyard? Can you see the out of place sort of feeling? God's people, but in the wrong place. And the reason is because they do not consider. Now, I want to read to you just a little quote from a guy called John Piper, and his article is called "Television, the Great Life Waster." Now, I'm not, you know, it just happens to be from this article. But he says an amazing thing. He says, "We have become almost incapable of handling any great truth reverently and deeply. Magnificent things, especially the glory of God, rest with a kind of weightlessness, even on the church. It is one of the defining marks of our time." And basically, he's talking about the fact that we are so busy that we do not make time to consider. We do not make, and I'm going to talk about this considering in a moment. But we fill our lives even with Christian things, you know, good things. We're so busy, and we have a quiet time quickly for an hour in the morning sometimes. Wherein we, you know, we sort of just settle ourselves in the place where we feel, right, now I'm equipped for the day, sort of. And you just go there with your equipping for the day. But you don't actually, like Augustine, just sit there for 8 hours going, my God. Somebody caught him doing this for 8 hours as he considered. As he just considered. But we don't take time off, you see. We will have babysitters for those of us, our parents. We'll have babysitters for social visits and for this and for that. And yes, sometimes the TV will be blaring, where you sit on Facebook, what's happening in everybody else's life. You know, or you're busy with your books, you're busy studying, you're busy, or you're busy doing stuff for the church. And, you know, we're reaching out, we're going to reach the nations. For those missionaries, yeah, I see you on the right there, most of you. And all of those things are good. All of those things are good. But do we actually, in our going, reproduce life? Do we have life? Do we consider? Do we by ourselves come to revelation? Or is our revelation based on other people's revelation? Shortcut to the gospel. Shortcut. People say, and we do. Even heard somebody say the other day, it's so easy to be a Christian. We just do. We just follow orders. We're an army. Somebody just says, and we do. And at the end of the day, doesn't know God. Shortcut to the gospel. We follow rules. We follow formulas. You must just believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, and you're saved. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth, and I'm saved. And we know it doesn't work. But Scripture says so. Yes, but there's much more to Scripture than just that little line. You see, I am very frustrated with that because I was there. I was so confused because I did all of that stuff just like that lady. I know that place where she was. I've done everything that was told me to do. I did all the Christian things. And yet I knew that I did not know him for myself. But then I was told, but you do, because you did the right thing. So you're just confused, and I was so disappointed in this so-called abundant life. Because it certainly wasn't abundant for me. And when I was honest with myself, I certainly did not know God like some people that I saw that were so rock fast and just in such a place of rest and peace, and nothing could move them. And I was becoming so aware of it. And thank God I was honest to be aware of it. And just in the end, as I've shared several times, you know, just throw everything out. Just throw everything out, my Bible, everything. I just threw it in the corner. I didn't want to go to church. I didn't want to do nothing anymore. And in my heart of hearts, something inside of me cried, just give me the real thing, please. Just give me the real thing, please. But I'm not going to go look for it anymore. Not the way that I have been, in any case. And then God led me in his own way to find him. Not through my effort. God found me. I try to look for God, but not in the way that was according to his clues, you see. But according to formulas. And that is a shortcut. That's a shortcut that actually also doesn't even work. Because God the Father is the one who draws us. And he puts, he's the one who puts that thing in our hearts that says, I want to know you, Lord. I want to know you. And then you see, as we seek him, he says, seek me with all your heart. He doesn't just go, here's a formula, do this, and then you will have the answer. He says, seek me. But you see, we do not make time. We do not take time out to genuinely seek out of fear, many of us, out of fear that maybe he's not to be found. Like our own daddies, we're not. We can't find them. We're scared of being disappointed. And so we just stick to the easy route. But today I want to tell you there is a pool of great price. I know. I experience him all the time. Without going, without hype or screaming or doing things or anything. Just in my heart. And I know many people here today know that place. We don't have to perform. And I know we say that all the time, but well, you know that God loves you unconditionally, and that nothing you do or say or whatever is going to make him love you more or less, because he can't love you more. You can't love more than full. So, I want to quote you a scripture just for like a cry from somebody who also knows God like that, who's discovered God through his considering. And I will show you just now, how can we do this considering thing? It will sound like doing, but you will find out that it's not really doing. Psalm 8, verse 3 to 9. Listen to this. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels. Wow, God. And you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You've put all things under his feet. All sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the sea. Oh, Lord. Our Lord. How excellent is your name on the earth. You know, the other day I was also there in the bush, sitting under a tree. I go there regularly. There's in the middle of nowhere where there's no houses or any distractions or noises or all of that stuff. And I was sitting there under the tree, with my knees all curled up, hoping that nobody will pass me looking at me. What's he out tani mark on the boom? And you know, I've really come to a place where nature just speaks to me, as it says in the scripture. We look at the scripture just now about God's incredible greatness. But I never really considered his greatness, that I'm greater than the rest of his creation. You know? That I'm the crown of his creation. You know, we always sort of put ourselves a little bit under. You know, I'm the worm. I'm the worm in the furrow. In fact, I get away from people because people are so fallen. including myself. You know, I just want to get to something that's unfold. And the other day, you're really going to think I'm crazy now. I'd like a revelation of God's creation. Why it's so nice to be in his creation. Why is it so good to see green and not just buildings? You know, and at a point, I realized, goodness, you know, this bark of the tree that I'm leaning against, you're really going to sound crazy, is purely made by God. No human interference. And I took a piece of the bark and I kissed it. As something, you know, as God just gives you revelation of what he has made, etc. But then the Lord added and he says, and what about you? You are the pinnacle of my creation. You know? And just like David there, you know, he revels in his creation and the stars and stuff. And by the way, he didn't have Louis Giglio to be able to show you the bigger, you know, version. And to go, wow, Louis Giglio has discovered God's greatness, you know. You can discover it for yourself without seeing all of that stuff and the, you know, all of those wonderful stuff. It's great. But God wants you to discover it for yourself, man. You know? But you've got to go and contemplate. You can't rely on somebody else who goes and contemplates and find out all these things for you. We need to go and consider. And so as I've shared in one of the evening meetings, you know, sometimes I just go out without anything and I just go sit there under the tree. And then sometimes I go to another tree and then I go lie on a clip. Just, you know, just to get away from the noises that distracts me so that I can go and consider. And when I'm in that place, you know what? I find faith. Just like that, the writer of Corinthians says, faith. I come to a conclusion of faith. Anybody who considers cannot be an atheist unless he deliberately wants to, but then he won't consider. Because if he does, if he explores, he will have to come to a conclusion that there is a mighty God for himself. Not because somebody else says so. And for in that place, when we look at nature, we discover faith. And this is the first thing of the three things that that Paul says in his letter that remains. Faith, hope, and love. Let me go on. So, when we get back to those original scriptures, just go back to the Matthew 18. Talks about the fact that we must be like children. And then the key word there is, therefore, whoever humbles himself. And this is where this lady missed it. Whoever humbles himself like a little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Right? So there's the humility there that God is talking about. And if we look at the second scripture, we see there that Paul comes to the conclusion, now I know in part. I used to understand and think and spoke as a child. And it sounds like he's saying that was bad, but it's not bad. You've got to be a child, as I said. You've got to be. What do children speak about? What do they understand? What do they think? You can't be an adult unless you've been a child. What do they think about? What do they say? First word is before, after mama or dada. Some parents fight over what came first. Right around about at the age of two, they discover no. You know, which is great. They discover they've got a will too. And it's good, you see. And then at about the age of three, four, parents, why? Do this, please. Why? Why? And then a little bit later, especially the boys go and fiddle with all the cords and stuff and want to look into the engine of a car. How? How does this work? And so they are exploring. And little kiddies, they sit there in the, you know, we buy them all these educational toys that's supposed to make them clever. Hey? And it's red and green and, I mean, all these bright colors and it hangs above them as they sleep, you know, because it's going to make you more intelligent and all of that stuff. And then you come out and you get this thingy key that you just go, and then it plays, you know, just like a real piano. So you wonder, you're going to be a pianist because you know how to play this thing and this thing goes dong and this one goes me and this thing goes, you know, and it's going to make them clever. But I'm telling you, a child that will be clever one day is one who sits in the dirt. Remember this. You just leave him there in the dirt and he looks at an ant walking. And he goes and fetches some breadcrumbs and he puts it down and he sees how the ant picks up that breadcrumb. It's bigger than himself. And he walks and the other ants come after him. And he puts little things in front of the ant, you know, that he must crawl over. Will he crawl over? Will he crawl under? You know, and he watches this ant because he's exploring. He's finding life here, you know. That is what a child is like, and this is what God wants us to be like, to explore for ourselves. Proverbs 6 verse 6 says, go to the ant, you lazy person, and become wise. So what do us big people do? Psst. Eh? We kill the ants, they're a flipping nuisance, you know. We don't see anything in it because we don't consider. So that's why God wants us to consider and to look at these things and become wise. That's where wisdom comes from, the humility of a child. You see that? At the same time, the exploring of a child, so that we can come to the same place as Paul after all our exploring and all the questions that we have. Ask God. Say, God, I don't understand this. Won't you let me know? Just open your mouth wide. And then go on with your life, and he will show you, man, in his own way, in his own time, through his own means. Faith. Hope. How do we come to hope? And love. How do we come to that place of rest? Look here in Hebrews 4, verse 11, verse 9 to 11. It says, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest. Be diligent to enter that rest. Be diligent, rest. Do you want me to be diligent or you want me to rest? Be diligent, explore like a child, so that you will in the end come to the place where you, like Paul says, I only see through a glass dimly. And I've made a peace with that. One day I will see face to face. My brain, when I look in the mirror, actually is not so big. And they tell me that I only use like between 3 to 10% of it, depending on whether you had educational toys or looking at the ant or whatever, whether there's been stimulation. Okay? And so there's even a little bit of it that I use. So this is the size of my brain, and I only use this bit, you know. Maybe I can't know everything here, but I can rest in the fact I've discovered through my exploring. You can put that away, lovey. It's just working on my nerves. It's my courtyard. I'm already over the time. I'm sorry for your chickens that are in the oven. But to come to that place where you explore, come to the place of rest. Come to the place of rest, but we must explore. So how do we explore? And this is where the lady got it wrong. You see, she said that I sort of kind of feel a little bit of God, or sort of I think, when me and my clever friends come together and we try to figure God out, and sometimes we read poetry, then I feel something. Maybe that's God, you see. And so they're searching, but they're not searching where God is. And they're trying to figure him out in their own arrogance. Trying to figure it out. But God says there's clues. He says in Romans, I'm almost done. In Romans 1 verse 20, God says that we must believe, that's not the scripture, but he says that he is and that he's your rewarder of those who diligently seek him, right? And how do you discover that he is? There's the scripture that I've been talking about the whole morning in Romans 1 verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are people who are wondering, is there a God or not, are without excuse. See? So in that place is faith. So we've already seen, where do we find faith? You just look around. And if you don't have faith after that, then really, you know. But make the effort to consider, to go and sit there, so that your faith grows in a big God. The more you consider, the more you realize God is so big, he's so big, he's so big. Oh, he's much bigger than I thought. Excellent are your ways. You know, you can't even find words to describe it. Like, you know, poetry is sort of trying to put in words something that actually is not wordable. But that knowledge of God that is so great, and then you realize how small you are, but you just know, I can rest in him because he also loves me. He upholds the whole universe by the word of his power. I'm the pinnacle of his whole creation. Why shouldn't he uphold me by the word of his power? He's completely in control. Faith. Then how do we come to hope? How did he come to the conclusion of the second one? Hope. Scripture. Scripture. That makes us wise. Where is that scripture in 2 Timothy 3 verse 15? Paul talks to Timothy. He says that from childhood you knew the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise. Where you read about God's promises, that gives you hope. He says, I know your future. I know I have a hope and a future for you. I want to give you life. So we have a hope for our earthly future. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. All these things, all these incredible promises in Scripture. Christ in me, the hope of glory. All of that stuff, God wants you to delve in the Scriptures and find there God's hope for us as mankind and for you as an individual. And he will show you things. And not just for this life. When I die, I can't wait to die. Oh, Lord, wonderful. There's not going to... Oh, Lord, don't you want to come before the World Cup? So, you know? Just so that there's not so much traffic. You know, there's a hope. Apparently, there's not going to be so much traffic because lots of people are staying at home because they're scared of Malema or whatever. But in any case, you know, so sometimes there's just this sort of, you know, there's so much injustice. Sometimes there's so much injustice here and you want to, you know, you get a ticket for standing in front of your whole own office for $300. You know, and then other people who just the other day on Friday, there was a gun hold up in front at our office. You know, three guys, gunmen coming to rob somebody there. And they will, and we know they'll come off scot-free probably. And you're so frustrated. But one day there will be justice. You know, there's a hope. There's a hope. There's a hope. That one day when this world, when God has said, finished now, new heaven and a new earth, we know that we have a hope. You know, and then we see our lives in perspective. It's so short, 70 to 80 years more or less. You know, some of us go further. I say to God, Lord, just stick to that one with me. Thank you. 70 to 80 is good enough for me. You know. But there's a hope that we find in Scripture and the promises, and the Holy Spirit inside of you knows that Scripture is from God because it rings true in your spirit. You don't have to go through 10 seminars. Is that Apocrypha or is this canon? You know, is this the Bible that we have? And what about the gospel of who knows all these rubbish that the people dish up for you on National Geographic? You know that as the Lord led everybody with the Scripture that we still have today, and they knew God in the same way we can know God, you know. Because your spirit agrees with Scripture. There you find hope. Hope. And then love. How simple. John 3 verse 16. We can just look at the cross. And as I shared at a previous service, when I realized that I don't have that revelation of God's, of the cross of Jesus, I went to God because I know that Fred somehow has this. I mean, he's always so thankful. Before he prays anything, he says, your cross and this, and he always wants to break bread and stuff, you know. And to me, it didn't have the kind of meaning that it had for him. And so one day in my frustration, I said to God, God, you know what? I also want to know that thing, you know, have a knowledge, have like a revelation somehow of your cross. And so I just left it with God there because now I've come to the place where I trust him. He will give it to me, but I'm not going to sit there going, try and figuring it out. Try and getting a revelation. You know how we are? We ask for something and then we want to work it out ourselves. Go by formulas again and go by our old ways. But trust God. He will give it to you. And then one day, I think it was one of the days I was lying on the clip when the Lord just, I didn't even think about that question that I asked months ago. And suddenly just a couple of scriptures came into my head and I clicked something. It just became overwhelming, the knowledge of the cross and what he actually did there. And I shared that. I'm not going to share it again today. I sort of try to share in words what he showed me. But from that time, when I sing songs about the cross, I worship in spirit and in truth. Not anymore sort of vaguely. I know it happened, and I'm thankful, but now I want to go, oh, because it's real. Because it's a revelation that I have. Not through somebody else who tells me and tries to get it into my head. If you say it enough, Now, we must have the heart of God. He wants us to know him, to know him, to know him. And from that place of knowing, to live from there. So, Psalm 81, if you wanted to know that scripture about open your mouth wide, I'm the Lord. Isn't it amazing that he says that? I just knew the scripture in my head and I thought, let me go find the scripture. And then it says, I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of slavery, out of bondage. Now, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. And that word full comes from the word, is actually the word, not comes from, it's the word malay, that means filled with the Spirit. I will fill you with my Spirit. So you know what I do? I go walk into the field from time to time and I say, God, won't you fill me with your Spirit? Simple as that. And I know that he will. Psalm 103 says, I will fill your mouth with good things so that your youth is restored like the eagle. Your spiritual youth, that your joy of your salvation will be restored again. That your youth will be restored. I want to fill your mouth with good things, man. Just open it widely. But you see, if we're not in that place of rest, we will wonder. We will go and wonder, will he or will he not? But if you've come to that place where you know, that you know, that you know, there's only three things. It's very simple. Faith. I look around me, who can but believe? Hope, scriptures full of hope, all the promises, etc. Love, when I know what he has done, it's not just letter, the letter kills, the Spirit gives life. And I discover that the greatest of these is love. I don't have anybody to, need anybody to send me an SMS writing me those things, and I go, I know it for myself. That is a place of the fullness of the Lord. And from that place, I explore more. I explore more. I contemplate more because I've discovered that it is there so much more where that comes from. I serve naturally. My eyes open up for the needs because the love of God, the Holy Spirit, who's this, the Spirit of God is the Spirit of love. He's the one who's not driving me but leading me like the Good Shepherd. No driving. Sheep go. No, he's just leading me with his eye. And I just go where he leads me. And it's effortless. And I remain in that place of peace and of rest. And I operate from that place. Let's stand this morning. So you see, the problem, as I said, with the lady was that she was not following God's clues. She was seeking, but she was seeking on her own terms in her own way. And when the truth got given to her, she was very cross. Because I remember I wrote a letter to this friend of mine saying, you can send this letter to her if you want to. You don't have to, but she sent the letter. Wherein I explained to the lady very lovingly, because I know I was there, and I'm trying to let her see that she can't figure God out, but that the gospel is actually extremely simple. So then this lady wrote back to me, and she sort of cursed, saying, how can you say that the gospel is simple? Typical charismatics, you know? And she ranted and raved, and I realized there's nothing I can do for this lady because she will not be humble and say, God, I will be open to people who actually hear the voice of the Lord. And I will maybe go and ask them instead of being cross with them and cross with you. I will ask them, how did you come to that place? I consider. I make time to consider. I search the scriptures and I ask the Lord for revelation where there's revelation lacking. I open my mouth wide and I say, Lord, won't you fill it? And then I let him fill it. And when he does, I know the difference between him filling my mouth and somebody else trying to fill it. Okay, Father, those of us who really want to come to that place of rest, and you know you're not there, just reach out to God. Reach your hand, I'm going to pray for you. Father, we just reach out to you, Lord, and we want the buzz to stop. We want the noise to stop, Father. We want the striving to stop. We actually really want to come to a place of rest, Lord. We want to come to a place where we are rock solid. We don't have to listen to so many things, Lord. When the Spirit of God is speaking, we know it is that. We know when it is, you know, when we read even a book, Lord. We know to eat the flesh and to spit out the bones. We know the difference between the bones and the flesh because our spirit is at a place of rest. And so, Father, we pray and we commit ourselves, Lord, to seek you out, to explore like a child, to go and consider, to make time, to switch off all the noises, to make time to switch those noises off and to go to you and to contemplate so that we can come to the place of peace, of a knowledge of you, where we will look into the scriptures, Lord, not for any other reason but to just find the hope, Lord, that you promise us in there. And Lord, ultimately, above everything, as Robert has said this morning, above everything, right in the middle of history, to behold your cross and to see your love. It is our desire. Father, we open up our minds wide. Won't you fill it? In the name of Jesus. I want to ask anybody who need any extra prayer. Now, you don't necessarily need for anybody to lay hands on you and to speak to you because God does it by himself. But if you need somebody to just agree with you in prayer on anything, whether it is something that I was sharing this morning or not, whether you are sick, whether you just need somebody to lay hands on you, to pray for you, or anything that's maybe confusing you at this time, just please come forward. And we're not here just to preach at you, but we also want to minister to you. Can you just play something, Robert, something nice? That last song. Is the band gone? Are they here? Some of them. Come. That song that we sang, that last one in the worship. You will start finding that your whole way of thinking will change just because you say, Lord, I open my mouth, will you fill it? And you might not experience anything weird, but you're going to start seeing that your eyes are going to start opening up. You're just going to see the fruit of it because God comes and he fills it. It's not something that you can necessarily see with your eye, but you will see it in the fruit of your life just by you saying, God, please, I'm opening my mouth, won't you please fill it? So let's worship the Lord. And those of us who need prayer, please come forward. And if there's anybody who doesn't know the Lord, this is all foreign to you, but you really want to. You really want to plug into who he is. Please come forward and we will pray with you. Our prayer will do nothing to you, but clearly the Lord, the Father God, has drawn you to the place where you desire us to know him. And all you need to do is just to respond to him, and we will help you to respond to him this morning. So if that's you, please come forward and we will pray with you. Sing this song. While we're singing, you can come forward, and the rest of you have a lovely day.